The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Monday night loss in Philadelphia, 34-27. The Redskins fall to 3-3. Kevin, kind of a weird, odd situation, at least to start the game for me.
Yeah, what? Why are we even doing this show, man? Y'all saw it. Y'all saw what happened.
Yeah, I know what happened.
You asked the same questions that we asked, right? Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of bizarre. It seemed like the officials took it upon themselves to make themselves the star of the show for a while there.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what was interesting was, you know, you start the game off and you wish you could, you know, walk away with 7 points, but I was fine with 3. The Skins looked like they were in control, especially on that first drive. There was a pretty good pace to it, running the ball pretty effectively with Rob Kelly. Felt good about that first drive. Felt good early in the game. The Eagles get the ball, and I think there was, 4 or 5 straight penalties to start their first offensive drive. And so I'm like, okay, this is a good thing. And then the Skins get the ball back, can't do anything with it. We go 3-3, then 10-3, and you're thinking, okay, despite it just being 10-3, they were dominant to start the game. Dominant in the first quarter.
Right. Not only dominant, but there was a time there. Well, I mean, we're going to get into this in depth because it's a matter of mathematics to me. I think one yard is less than 5 yards. And we'll get into that. But not only were they dominating, the Eagles were all out of sorts.
Right.
And the fans were getting on them. The cameras had some great shots of the Philly fans, and they were despondent.
Right. Like, they were upset and had right to be. I mean, the Redskins were looking really, really good. I mean, that first drive, I mean, the pass to Vernon Davis, the pass to Jamison Crowder, just moving the ball down the field. I mean, it looked as if the Skins, again, in rhythm early, the Eagles all out of sorts.
Yeah, but then it turned around, and it turned around on 1 yard.
Right, right.
And
here's the thing. If anyone's been listening to this show, first of all, I should pat you on the back because you know good radio when you hear it.
That's true. That's true.
Number two, we've been talking about this for years. I mean, if it's 3rd and 1, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd and goal at the 1.
Right.
Or
right,
even
right.
at the 2.
Right.
Or 2nd and 1. And all you need is 1 yard. Why are you passing the ball?
1 yard.
Why are you? This gets to the fundamental thing about football. Can I outpower you? Can I get 1 yard when I need it? You're getting paid millions of dollars and I'm asking you for a yard. Get me a yard.
Give me a yard.
But we passed the ball.
You know what? That unfortunately, that showed me something last night. That showed me that one, Jay Gruden didn't think that his guys can get him a yard.
Right.
That's that, and it showed me that he showed his guys that he didn't think that they can give him a yard.
Right.
You know,
because
that has to be a slap in the face. Come on, coach. We want.
Running back, if I'm Rob Kelly, and it's 3rd and 1. And I hear a call come in that's anything other than, you know, running back dive right up the middle. I'm confused by that. You don't trust us to get this 1 yard.
Hey.
And then the pass play on the 3rd and 1. I mean, if it's 1 yard, then at least do something that's going to get you a yard.
I have never in my life seen a half yard pass pattern.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, how do you, it's 3rd and 1. We're already not going to run the ball, but then the pattern doesn't even get you a yard.
How do you run a half yard pass pattern?
And why do you even throw the ball if it's only
Really? Why throw the ball? Kirk could have kept the ball. Hey, Carson Winston seemed to mind if he needed 5, he'd get you 5, whatever, right?
Right.
But let's not compare quarterbacks because we got the Golden Boy, right? You know, we're in this different studio. I can't throw that. I'm Captain Kirk's on you, all right? As much as I want to. But that's In the first quarter of that game, they had an opportunity to, as a good friend Doc Walker would say, step on their throats.
Right.
They had that opportunity.
Absolutely. And several times.
And you know what? You know, we're recording off schedule here. There's so many things I wanted to do last night. I had a flash of a good Denny Green drop here. They were who we thought we were, and we let them off the hook. Mm-hmm. Not only once, they did it twice on 3rd and 1.
Right.
The
right.
same call, pass play, shotgun on 3rd and 1. And this leads me to the mathematical thing I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, let's do some math.
Now, you know, the little arrow pointing to the left means less than, right? Mm-hmm. And a little arrow pointing to the right means greater than,
correct.
Right? Now, I always thought that 5 yards was greater than 1 yard. And if you need 1 yard, why would you go 5 yards back from the line of scrimmage into the shotgun? That means you would have to get 6 yards to get the first down.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly, which is making the job harder than it has to be.
Harder than it has to be. So I learned a lot about Jay Gruden last night.
I don't know if you learned a lot about him more so than confirmed the things you already knew. I mean, you've been saying for weeks that he just doesn't want to run the ball.
Yeah,
there's no commitment to the run.
This year had been different, though. This year had been a lot different because there was time when the pundits were saying he should have thrown the ball, and they stuck with the run early, but it just didn't stick. It's like, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. Let's do, you know, I come up with all these grand things on the chalkboard, and I want to use some of them. You know? I can't use them next week. You know, I can't use them in the grocery store. I can't use them when I get my car serviced. Let's try it right now. 3rd and 1, brilliance.
Right. Just unbelievable. And then you look at it, 10-3, then the Eagles tied up 10-10. You know, I'm starting to feel like, I don't know about this because, again, they were so dominant but nothing to show for because it's 10-10. Then the Eagles get the ball back and score before the half, and it's 17-10. You just played a slightly – you played pretty good in the first half, kind of let them off the hook for the most part, and you're down 7. I mean, they played in a manner that you felt as if they should be going into the half leading.
Right, right.
And they were down 7.
Right,
And the Eagles were getting the ball back.
Right.
And you knew right then and there, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be trouble.
It was a letdown, not dominating on those 3rd and 1 calls. The whole team just let down. I mean, they were held together by glue last night anyway. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, tons of injuries.
Tons of injuries.
Yeah.
Guys doing the best they could. They needed some coaching last night. They need, as people say, they need to be coached up last night, right? And they needed to show the world on national TV. They needed to show we're the dominant team here. And instead of going forward, they're back in pass protection.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing is, especially with a lot of the injuries happening on the offensive line and things like that, I mean, you would assume that the easier thing to do would be, okay, let's just try to establish the run. Let's get these guys in the rhythm. It just wasn't happening last night. I mean, I'm looking at the stat lines, and, you know, when you've got just 18 runs, 7 from your 2 starting running backs, that's including 3 runs, 3 from Kirk Cousins and 1 from Jameson Crowder, you can't have Rob Kelly carrying the ball 7 times, and you can't have, you know, Chris Thompson carrying the ball 7 times. At some point, someone's got to be in double digits there because, again, the game was not out of hand until late in the third quarter.
Well, it was obvious that they didn't listen to last week's show because we promoted it as a big NFC East battle, you know, mano a mano, you know, the toughest guy wins. And, you know, I'm sorry, you know, we love Chris Thompson. We love the season he's having and, you know, being healthy and the way he's producing, but he's not a between the tackles runner.
No, he's not.
He's not going to punish anybody.
And the whole point of a change of pace back is that he changes the pace.
Right. He can't be the pacemaker.
Right. He can't be the pacemaker change the pace.
Man, need a pacemaker, but he can't be the pacemaker.
Exactly. Right? And, you know, and Rob Kelly, by the way, I mean, look, I understand. After 7 carries, he had 18 yards. But but the problem is he's not able to build up a rhythm. He rushed fine early in the first quarter.
Right.
Like the way things were looking early in the first quarter. Not sure how and why they got away from it, especially being up 3-0, tied at 3-3, 10-3, and then 10-10, and then even 17-10. I'm just not sure how you get away from running the ball that quickly.
Yeah.
Especially when you've had a certain amount of success with it.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. Remember, like I said, like, you know, you have to wear a tie to work. You don't have to wear the same tie. You know, but sometimes you got to go with the open collar, right? You know, right. Sometimes, so you know, Coach Gruden just had it in his mind that it had to be done a certain way. But I'm looking at the talent in the backfield, and And it's like they're role-playing guys, right? Mm-hmm. Each one has a specific role, but the way this team utilizes them, they want all guys to do all the things, right?
Yeah.
You know, Fat Rob is not a speed back. He's not going to hit the corner, right, or cut back the way that Chris Thompson was.
Correct.
Chris Thompson's not going to pound it. P-Rod didn't, I don't even think he got in the game last night.
He did not.
And right. He was supposed to be the bruiser guy, right?
Right.
You know, the guy they compared to Marshawn Lynch so often. This was, man, there was a running back they had on this team last year that, that probably could have gotten him a yard, but he put the ball and it was so unforgiving, they just ran him out of town.
Right. No, you're right. Is Matt Jones playing anywhere?
He was with the Colts, going back and forth between their practice squad and the active roster.
Okay.
They, early in the year, he was on the roster and they had to release him to bring back one of their linemen.
Okay.
And then later on, there was another injury and they brought him back. I'm not sure of his status right now. Maybe during the break, we'll take a look at that.
Maybe during the break.
We know one thing. He ain't here.
He ain't here. And if he was, he wouldn't run the ball more than seven times. That seems
to be also isn't here? Alf.
There was a guy a few years ago, Alfred Morris, who, by the way, when he gets in with Dallas and spells for Zeke, he does fine. He's Alf. He does what Alf does. You think they couldn't use Alfred Morris right now?
He not only runs, but he runs for like big yards.
That's the thing. It's like
Alf had like four carries for 60 yards the other day.
You're trying to figure this thing out, and it's like, you know, I didn't, number one, understand letting Alf go for Matt Jones. And then to let Alf go in favor of Matt Jones and let Matt Jones go so quickly, or at least bench him halfway through the next season. This doesn't make any sense.
Here
we are talking about the same things we were talking about last year and the same thing we were talking about 2 years ago.
I go further than that, man. I don't see the move to let RG3 go and, you know, hoping Cousins will be, you know, the golden boy, right? And he's been nice at times, right? But where are we?
Right.
We're on the verge of 3-5 again, man.
Well, it's interesting because we talked about it last week where, you're looking at San Francisco and you're just saying, hey, here's what happens when you don't have a quarterback. But then it's like, well, we also just barely beat the 49ers. And so what is the difference at this point is what it seems like. I don't know if Kurt's the problem, but somebody's got to be. He's not the problem, but I can't find the answer on the team. I'll put it that way.
And you know, the interesting thing, if you look at like Carson Wentz and Philly, those were the same guys before Carson was got there with, you know, LeGarrette Blunt here and, you know, a rookie
and
there.
And Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah. But they had something to build on. They had a core. Alshon Jeffrey isn't like lighting the league up.
Right.
But what's happening is,
he only had two catches yesterday, 37 yards.
Right. And the more these guys win, the more they expect to win.
Right.
The more they, you know, it happens with every team. You give a team a chance to think that they're good, all of a sudden they start believing it themselves.
Right.
Which is just the opposite of what's happening here. We've given these guys every opportunity to think that they're not good. So we don't throw to certain guys. We don't, you know, why don't we throw to them? We don't get them in the game. We don't run certain guys. We don't let certain guys. It has to be disastrous before certain guys even get in the game, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's a shame. The reason that Dak Prescott is starting in Dallas is because Tony Romo, seriously hurt himself.
Right. And well, because Tony Romo hurt himself and then Kellen Moore broke his arm.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore broke his arm or whatever, wrist or something before Romo got hurt, and then Romo goes down.
That's why Romo had to play in the preseason because he was going to sit on the sideline with his hat on, right?
Yeah.
So it was just gravity.
Right.
You know,
right.
Something we can't control. So, but the people who are paid to think these games out, who are paid to come up with these brilliant offensive and defensive schemes, sometimes maybe they're just too close to it.
Yeah,
maybe they need to take a step back because no one gives a fan any credit except for us.
Right.
Of course.
Well, we're a fan-friendly show.
Let me change the subject for a minute. I'd like to thank all of you guys who for the tweets and the love and the likes and stuff you've been giving us as FF Rep. Mm-hmm. You know, Claude and I have been on radio for a long time. And people have realized that, man, we've been getting some serious love. So we appreciate
it.
So if you all want to come to the show so we can thank you in person, just hit us up at FF Rep. And hey, why not? You know just as much about this, those guys running the thing. I bet you most of you are listening right now with a running on 3rd-and-1. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we want to hear your opinion. So yeah, just hit us up and we're going to get you on. We're going to talk about it.
So when we come back after the break, I want to talk about some individual performances and the lack of some individual performances. I want to take a look at Carson Wentz. I want to take a look at Kirk Cousins. I want to take a look at some of the guys on the receiving squad for the Redskins. And we'll take a look at some some of the Eagles running backs as well.
Oh, do we have to do really, man? Come on, everybody saw the game. Do we really have to do that?
We'll have more on that
later.
Talk
about something else.
Coming up on the Federal Football. Oh, by the way, another edition of Fake News or Not.
Oh, yeah.
That's very popular. That's coming up next. I didn't mean to alarm you on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. The Redskins fall to 3-3 after a 34-24 Monday night loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Redskins are basically tied for second place in the NFC East with the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams 3-3. They play this weekend. It's Dallas. Does it feel like Dallas week?
Oh, man.
Does it? Not really. Not to me. I don't know. Does it feel like Dallas
week? It would have been spectacular with a Philly win when we're both playing for something, right? But,
yeah.
But no. We got some serious introspective reasoning to do. We got to take a long, hard look at what's happening here because I don't want to go through this, man. It's like Groundhog Day, right?
You know, where's the you have kind of a bleak look at the rest of the season. It seems like
I don't want to do this because I was excited about this because I felt like the Cowboys were the only thing standing in our way. I knew that I had the formula for once. You had to blitz them, but you had to keep on blitzing them, right? And then, you know, he caused, you know, great when he had time because they hit him early,
right?
And he had happy feet.
Yeah, sure.
But once it got off, he got over that. He got comfortable,
settled down,
and you know, he's a pro.
Made play after play. I mean, you know, Carson Wentz, by the way, 17 of 25, 268 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. The earlier interception in the first quarter. I mean, you know, like you said, he really was out of sync in the first quarter. But once he got his legs under, man, I mean, and that one play where it's like everyone's just kind of he disappears and then he reappears and is running down the field. I mean, that was an amazing play.
To me, the most amazing one was the pass where he got hit, the touchdown pass.
Right.
And he just, and the ball was spinning sideways.
Looks like he punted the ball.
Right. It was spinning sideways. And the team never, the receiver, which was a running back coming out of the flat, never gave up.
Right.
Never gave up on him, right? You know, so that's, it's an attitude. And the attitude comes from the top. He can't feel that way. In a rare instance, the quarterback feels that way and the coach doesn't in a winning team. One of the exceptions was, and yeah, I'm a Robert Griffin fan, that season where Shanahan pretty much said, well, we're playing for next year now. And the quarterback said, well, no, we got a lot of football to play here. Let's go for it. Right.
You know, right.
And that attitude was contagious. Now, a personal opinion, it was two alpha males in this current regime.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them had to go. He had one alpha male. I'm a good guy, coach. I'll do whatever you say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one, no, coach. Let's do it that way. And he just they couldn't have that.
Right.
And apparently the organization, because the GM and the quarterback are both gone now. Right. You know, he's still here calling shotgun on 3rd and 1. Everybody else is still gone. I don't understand it.
And anyway, you still have some venom that you said you wanted to get
just
out.
Just a bit. Just a bit. I'm so glad we're recording now. If we had waited one more day, I would have been a nicer guy. But no, we deserve
you gotta
better.
Get that out.
We
well,
deserve better.
Usually in our second segment, we do our new segment that everybody loves. This whole fake news or not.
Fake news or not.
Beautifully done. Wow. Check
yes,
that
yes,
out.
Yes,
we can. All right. We run a professional situation here.
The fans.
But there
right.
we go. So here we go. Fake news or not. I pose 3 questions to Kevin. Kevin lets me know whether it's fake news or whether it's not. Question number 1, Kevin. At 3-3, the Redskins are still in position to win the NFC East. Fake news or not?
Totally fake news. News. With any other organization, I would say there's a shot. There's a chance, but they just haven't given me anything to be hopeful about.
Mm-hmm.
A spark here, a spark there, but they won't build on it. Was there anything deep to Josh Dotson last night? Any jump ball situation to Josh Dotson? Was there anything to Terrell Pryor over the middle where he can use his speed to catch and run?
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything from Jordan Reed caught a touchdown pass and it's like I could have caught a touchdown pass, right? You know, a 2-yard
Jordan,
slant.
By the way, had 2 touchdowns, eight receptions, 64 yards, 2 touchdowns, but it came almost in garbage time.
Yeah. So it's going to have to be one of those famous players only meetings, mm-hmm. right? And they shouldn't invite all the players to that.
Certain players
only meeting. Yeah, there's And there's that injury situation, man. I'm feeling bad.
See, that's the thing when I look at the, at 3-3 are the Redskins in position to win the East is because you've got a lot of injuries that I think is going to make it hard to win in the upcoming weeks. But also the fact that you've played the Eagles twice already and they're basically 2.5 games up. I mean, 3 in the win column, 2 in the loss column because of the bye. So they're 2.5 games up right now at this moment, and there's nothing you can do about it because you don't play them anymore, you know? Right. And so you're hoping that there's maybe 2 losses to the Eagles against the Cowboys, but if that happens, then the Cowboys get 2 games, and they're tied with you right now. And so, yes, are you, like, mathematically possible to win the East? Of course. I mean, yes, you only, you know, to, but are you in position right now to? You need a lot to happen, so that might be fake news.
We've already proven they don't know anything about math because they think that 5 yards is shorter than 1 yard. They don't know anything about the mathematics of the situation. Is lost on this group of people right here, man.
It's not their strong suit.
It's not their strong suit. They just don't seem to understand the numbers.
All right, question number 2 on fake news or not. Is it too early to consider the prior acquisition a bad signing?
That's news right there. That's news.
That's
real
too early
news.
To
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's real news because they haven't made an attempt to utilize him. They haven't used him as a weapon.
Right.
To me, to use him as a weapon, you utilize his strong suits to do what he does best.
Right.
One thing I noticed last night that is highly, overlooked with these guys is they don't block well for big receivers.
Right.
They really don't block well, but that's something that they're going to have to be taught. I'm not sure who the wide receiver, coach is right now, but if it's not somebody who's physical.
They need to get the offensive line coach to coach the receivers.
Let Callahan do that. Yeah. But you know, think about that, man. If their receiver coach is a speed guy or a guy who's trying to teach them how to be finesse, how to move, how to do that, it's not helping their run blocking technique. But there was a couple of times that guys got to the edge and all they needed was a little interference from the receiver and it wasn't there. It's like they seem like they're willing, and to be that big
and not able to block.
Yeah, they got to manhandle somebody, but that has to be their intent. But most of your time in practice is spent getting off the line, running pass patterns. Mm-hmm. Same with the tight ends. If most of your time is spent practicing getting out instead of hitting somebody.
Now Vernon Davis will get his roll his sleeves up.
Yeah.
Jordan Reed
because of the guns. Yeah,
life.
Yeah. And then Vernon Davis is playing like a man possessed.
Yeah.
When he gets the ball,
right.
He is trying to do something with it. Right. You know, he is trying hard. So he no need for the 1-2 coach there. But. The guys had some 1-2 in them last night. We're getting off subject a little bit. Yeah, let's go back to Terrell Pryor. I don't know if he wants to or not because they're not giving him an opportunity to.
Yeah. I don't think it's too early to say that it was a bad acquisition. I think it is too early to say that. I think that, you know, like you said, you've got to give him a shot. Again, this is what, his second year playing receiver or something like that? His third year playing receiver. You know, just 3-4 seasons ago, this guy was a quarterback. You know what I mean? And he's a really gifted athlete, but it also takes time to get used to, you know, playing the position and then you're playing receiver on a third different team. You know, he played quarterback for the Raiders, then played receiver 1 year, then to the Browns as receiver, then here. And so he's playing in a different system. That takes a little bit of time. You know, and then just the chemistry with the quarterback. So I think it just takes a little bit of time. And everyone thought, you got to bench Pryor. It's like, well, this guy also had 1,000 yards with the Browns last year. Now, granted, he was the only guy worth throwing the ball to, but he had 1,000 yards with them, right? And again, anyone who listens to the show knows after the first week, we had already said we were a little bit skeptical that you are going to rely on basically a rookie who hadn't played at all because of injury in Dotson, and you're going to rely on Pryor, who was a quarterback 3 years ago, to replace Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. That might be a problem. And so I don't know if it's necessarily his fault. Suppose he is a bad acquisition. I don't even know if you can blame him for that. I think that you have to blame the team or the organization. How are you going to take a guy who was a quarterback 4 years ago and make him your number one receiver? Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, but
how does that happen?
You have to
let go of DeSean Jackson, who, by the way, would help the running game because you can't bring in your safety down. There's no one's afraid of the deep threat. Now, Dotson has to prove it. We can say, oh, he's going to be a deep ball threat. Just throw it up to him. NFL defensive coordinators aren't scared of this guy, right? He doesn't have any tape. They haven't given them any reason to fear him right now.
Well, you've got
to prove it first.
A good way for them to prove it is for them to actually throw him the ball
on a
deep route. Now, you're talking about team chemistry. Now, we know they're not good at math, but apparently they're not good at chemistry either. You know, all the basic, the academic, the college prep courses, they're not working on these things. They're not studying. Maybe they're just waiting for the exam time and then cramming like a lot of us used to do, right? I just don't understand it. Yes, is something happening with Kirk and Pryor.
Yeah, maybe Kirk should say, I'm not throwing any deep balls. I'm saving his shoulder for San Francisco.
That could be. But why? Why not? Why? You know, why? Did he look for him on that third and one? I mean, did he even look? I mean, just throw it up high. He's taller than everybody.
Yeah, right. It's easy to spot him.
He's got DeSean Jackson's number on it, right? It's easy to do. It's baffling. It's a mystery, but there's still hope if they would just do it. And you know what? It's going to get to a point where he's starting to look on like movie. Well, he only has a 1-year deal,
right? No, exactly.
Why would he risk injury for a 1-year deal? There was something happened last night. I haven't confirmed it, but I understand that somebody out there in the Twitterverse said, "Why is this team better with three tight ends than they are with receivers? Is that an indication of the quality of the receivers?" And there was a response from Pierre Garçon with like three laughing faces, right?
Wow.
now, we don't know what
little laughing face emojis.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Now we don't know why he was laughing. Maybe somebody else told him a joke. But
he's also on a team that's 0-7, right? 0-6.
Yeah, but he's happier, right? You know. But you know, because he's I looked at I said, and I tweeted some of our friends out here in Radio Land. I said, why are they going three tight ends? That gives them options, right? They got Niles Paul, who I guess is still on the team. I see 84 out there every once in a while.
Made a couple plays yesterday.
Yeah. You go three tight ends on third and one. That gives you options. You can play action. You got short. You got a guy
I'll tell you what. Let's take a look at this. So when you look at the receptions yesterday, Vernon Davis with 4, Jordan Reed with 8. So that's 12. Again, better at math than the 3-1. Let's go 5 yards back. Niles Paul with 1 reception for 32 yards. And so that gives you 9 for your tight ends. Receivers, we're not going to count the running backs. We'll count the running backs later. So we've got 9 for the tight ends. Wide receivers, 2 for Pryor, 3 for Grant. That's 5. 2 for Crowder. That's 7. And then 3 for Dotson. That's 10. So 10 spread out of 4 receivers. Yeah, and 9 with 3 tight ends. You're definitely throwing to the tight ends more than you're right. throwing to the receivers. And then when you look at the running backs, Chris Thompson with 5 and Rob Kelly with 2. So you've got 10, 9, 7. 7 to your running backs, 9 to your tight ends, and 10 to your receivers. You're definitely utilizing the tight ends more than
than you should. The tight ends should be, unless you got Gronkowski, you can split out wide and run deep. why are you doing that? What is it gaining you? If you're doing it as a result of a play design, but it all is based, this offense is based on the deep pass, right?
Exactly.
Because the deep pass opens it up. It opens up the underneath
routes.
What
happened to Jamison Crowder? I mean, he's having a pretty bad season right now.
Well, I think that they rushed him back from injury as well. I think that, he's a third-year player?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's hitting that. He's at a point where he's thinking his career should be maybe a little bit better than it is. He should be better off, higher up, more productive than
he
is.
He also benefited last year from Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson being there, because it's a big difference between the first or second best cornerback on a team playing you. And even if you're not being checked one-on-one by that guy, I mean, when the defense's attention is on another player, that opens it up for you. And he had a pretty good year last year, but I think because a lot of the attention wasn't on him. Now, when no one has to pay pretty much much any attention to any one specific player, it's easier to kind of defend the offense as a whole, it seems.
Plus, he has to be sort of, I mean, he's a human being, man. It had to kind of get to him a little bit that, you know, maybe he thought that he was going to move up and be the number one guy.
No,
or number
you're
two
still
guy.
Number three. We're going to have the guy who never played before be two, and then let a guy who was playing quarterback 3 years ago be number one.
That has to affect the whole way this organization treats
its
people.
I didn't think about that.
The way they treat their people, man. I mean, like I said, free agency was at midnight at 12:01. Garcon and Jackson had signed and were gone. They were anxious to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And in a place where they were catching a lot of passes and being productive, but one bad game away from the playoffs, mm-hmm. they were anxious.
Yeah.
They said, okay, look, and let's go. One guy went as far west as you could go. Other guy went as far south as you could go. You know? They wanted out of here, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's the organization. And so there's a lot going on. In the words of James Taylor, something's happening here.
Absolutely.
What it is ain't exactly clear.
So you know what I want to say. I want to change my answer. I say, is it too early to consider the Terrell Pryor signing a bad acquisition? I said no. I would say yes. It's not too early because we said it was bad when they made it.
and
to no fault of his own.
Right.
Their fault.
But it was a little bit early. Like, you know, 5 minutes ago was too early.
Yeah.
Now it's just the right time.
It's
just the right time.
The final question, fake news or not.
It's been a good segment, by the way.
Very good segment. Usually it is, right?
Yeah, right, it's true.
And so, last question. This game against the Cowboys. Cowboys week is a must-win game.
That's news, man. That is not fake news. If they lose this game, that's it. They can start playing for like their winter home, redecorating things, or whatever, right? Because there is no way. Let me not say that, man. It could be like, you know, all these natural disasters, man. A volcano might erupt in Philly during the Eagles practice or something, right? The Giants, the ground might open up and swallow them up like in that Batman movie, right? You know, in Dallas, you know, just Jerry Jones is there, right? So anything could happen.
Right.
But I find it very, like, you know, we talking about these guys and their math. My math saying it just ain't adding up.
They'll fall to 3-4. The Cowboys will go to 4-3, you know, and then you still have the Eagles who you've got to catch, and they have two wins on you already, and that's given the fact that you figure you can win a few of these games coming up late in the season. But there are still some tough games coming up that I'm not sure if anyone thought would be tough. I mean, after Dallas, you've got to go to Seattle to play the Seahawks, and even though Seattle's not having, you know, what has been traditionally, you know, a strong team, mm-hmm. they're not as strong as they've been in recent history, but they're still a tough team to beat, and they're tough in Seattle anyway.
Russell Wilson throws three touchdown passes on a bad day.
Exactly.
They're not playing well, and he's throwing three
And then you've got Minnesota coming to Washington after that on November 12th. And, you know, Minnesota playing really good this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they had a quarterback situation where the quarterback with Bradford wasn't hurt all the time, you know, they'd probably have something special on their hands. But they've got a tough defense, and they're pretty good on offense. And then it seems like the Saints are back. You've got the Saints coming up on November 19th. And then the Giants, despite being down this year, it's a division opponent. That's always going to be tough. And then Dallas again, obviously. You know, the Chargers have won 4 in a row, I think. Arizona's coming up, and having a horrible season, especially due to injuries. Carson Palmer's out for the rest of the season. Denver and the Giants. And so it gets a little tough. And so when you look at the schedule coming up, yeah, I think that this is a must-win game just to kind of steady the ship a little bit.
If by must win, you mean if they lose this game, there's virtually no way they can do anything else but not make the playoffs again. Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. You know, the interesting thing is you were rattling off those names of teams. If you're looking at it from those teams' perspectives, each one of those teams believe they can beat Washington.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I'm sure Dallas is saying, hey, we just had the 49ers, and now we've got the Redskins. It's a chance to kind of right the ship.
you know what I mean?
To get things back to seeming as if, because Dallas kind of struggled to start the season. I mean, they went into the bye week 2-3, and then they beat the 49ers, so they're 3-3, but on an upward trend. And yeah, I mean, I think they're looking at this game against the Redskins saying, hey, this could be an opportunity to make something happen here to kind of build some momentum.
Do you think they bring Josh Norman back just for this game?
I was thinking about that Monday night watching it. When I'm watching Josh on the sidelines, and I'm thinking that they are saving him for this Cowboys game. Not that they wouldn't need him against the Eagles, but it's not do or die yet. I mean, 3-3 after six, you look at the schedule coming in as you do the W's and L's, I think you kind of think the Skins will probably be 3-3 at this point anyway, for the most part. And you're looking at this Dallas game like, okay, if we can't pull out a win against the Eagles, we'll play him against Dallas. And I think that they are going to play him against. I would be shocked if Josh Norman sits out this game. But, you know, if he thinks he can't help, like, I think that's where Trent Williams is now with his whole injury thing, that he thinks that he is holding the team back more than he's helping. And if Norman thinks he's not actually going to be able to help, because, look, Dez wants that matchup. Josh wants the matchup. But you don't want to go in there not healthy if you're Josh, because they'll test it. They'll test it. And they'll test it early. And Dez will want to test it.
Yeah. Not only in the passing game, but, you know, you got Zeke running towards you.
Right.
And if you're running toward the edge and the corner has to come up and force and give run support, that's not, with bad ribs, it's not, you know.
That's not something you want to do.
I would not, like, raise my hand and say, yo, please run my way.
Right. And with Zeke, you know, he's not going to have to serve suspension again this week,
again,
you know, because
they pushed the
hearing back again.
I wouldn't be surprised if during the game they come out in the field, put Zeke in handcuffs and take him out. You know, the way they jerk this poor kid around, man.
Right. It's like, you can't do that. How do you expect him to focus on what he's doing? And, you know what I mean? Like, just give him a date, and the date is what it is. You know?
That's it.
Or wait till the season's over. At least he's got to know this stuff, though. You know what I mean?
Kangaroo court NFL justice, man. It's horrible. It's horrible. Almost as horrible as his team is right now. But I
guess. You don't seem to be.
It's interesting. The Gruden apologist used to complain all the time that there wasn't enough talent on this team. There wasn't enough talent.
Which is interesting because you have Pierre Garçon, DeShaun Jackson, you know, Alfred Morris. Because Alf was here the first year of Gruden, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's not enough talent. Jordan Reed. Sounds like talent to me.
It was
but it also hadn't always been the offense either. I mean, the defense kind of struggled.
It was a bad defensive coordinator and not giving guys a chance and putting them. I mean, if guys like the Shays or Everett and guys like number 47, I forget the guy was a receiver.
Dunbar, right? He played great last night.
Right,
by the way.
He's been playing
and
great.
And Rashard Breland played pretty good last year.
Right. But they left these guys on the islands. They exposed Swearinger. They just exposed him a couple of times.
He was bad
in
coverage.
Yeah, he was bad. I give everybody a bad game. But these other guys, if they had been allowed to play in supporting roles instead of being like thrust into the starting role, that could have been a good, well-rounded defense, like a 5-6 defensive back package, right? Mm-hmm. Guys like Mason Foster Mason Foster was on the street, basically, right? They just as a last resort. Will Compton isn't getting enough playing time as far as I'm concerned, right? You know, because he's always had a knack for the ball. So it's not the ingredients, man. It's the chef.
Yeah.
That's why these recipes keep coming up like this, man. Don't say I got bad ingredients, man, because, like, you know, you said, you know, I shop at Shoppers. You know, if I shop at Whole Foods, I get better. Neither of which are sponsors, by the way. That's why I mentioned both of them.
If they'd
right?
like to sponsor, feel free to direct message us on Twitter at FFrep.
That's right. So it's not, you know, look, man, Emerald could go. He can get his ingredients from Whole Foods. He gets his ingredients from Shoppers, right? You know, Emerald will make a meal for you, right?
Exactly.
And it would be good, and you'd enjoy it, right? So don't tell me, well, I can't cook because I don't have the right ingredients, man. You can't cook because it says add a cup of flour, and you add five.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Oh, boy, but we'll have more than that. So that is this week's edition of Fake News or Not. Thank you, everybody, for listening to that. Coming back on the other side of this break, we'll have some keys to a win and what we both deem as a must-win for the Redskins next week against the Cowboys. That's coming up on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report as we attempt to wrap things up here, put a bow on a 34-24 loss in Philadelphia on Monday night. We'll just leave this game alone. We're done talking about that, right, Kevin? We're finished with it.
Yeah, like I said, you all saw the game. You saw what I saw. You know, that's a shame because I haven't heard one person say, oh, well, the coach knows
more than we do, and we should just let it go. Can I change the subject? Just go off of
Yeah, please do. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're done with this.
Since we last talked, the Nationals had decided not to renew the contract of Dusty Baker.
Right.
And we're talking about math. Here's a man who brought, you know, who was the second choice to be the skipper of this team. In his first year, they won 93 games, fell short in the playoffs when the bats went cold. The second year, won 95 games.
He's going to get you 90. You know what I mean? Especially with a team with this talent.
Won the division like 2 months before the season was over.
And players love him.
And then with superstar players, right, you know, and the bats fell cold in the playoffs and lost the first round by one run.
Right. Here's the thing. Bats going cold for this team in the postseason, talking about the Nationals, is something that happens quite often.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they can hit, they're scoring these runs, all of a sudden the postseason starts and they can't hit the ball. Last I checked, Dusty's not the swing coach. Man, Dusty's not hitting the ball.
I don't understand it.
There were some questionable, you know, manager decisions during the game, during two of the games, and I get that. But I don't think the loss this season to the Cubs was his fault.
You know, if those decisions had gone the other way, he'd be brilliant, right?
It boiled
down to two things. There was a infield pop-up that they misjudged, and the ball fell down in between three of the guys, right? Mm-hmm. And the leadoff hitter hit with like 1 for 20.
Right.
Your leadoff guy hit 1 for 20, right?
That's not going to work.
Yeah. Again, and like I said, they lost the game. It was like 9-8, 8-7. They lost by one run and could advance to the next round, you know? So, yeah, but the Nationals.
I was so disappointed. Yeah, I thought they'd get out of this round.
Yeah. I was too. But you know, a lot
and
of
I
these
feel
guys
like if they would have got out, they would have beat the Dodgers.
Yeah. You know what? That would have been a tougher matchup to me because, you know, the Dodgers, remember the Dodgers were on their streak in the middle of the season where they just thought that no one was going to beat the Dodgers ever.
But they were going to lose another game. Yeah,
they would have the best record of all the sports ever, right? But I was very disappointed to see that the team felt like the move to make was to blame Dusty, you know, and I, it was like I saw Dusty walking across Anacostia River, and then I looked at the newspaper that said Dusty Baker can't swim, you know. So you know, I have the person want to thank Dusty for like if you listen to the post game press conferences, Dusty was always he never got mad at the reporters just a guy talking, right?
Here's things that you got to take into consideration. Okay, you don't want Dusty, or you think Dusty's the problem. Where are you going to go? Who do you bring in after Dusty and the 290-plus win seasons?
Yeah, apparently they think it's a cruise control automatic pilot on this thing, right? That was my thing.
Bryce Harper goes to New York, then tell me what's cruise control.
Who are you going to get that's better? Who are you going to get that's better, right?
Oh,
you
know,
especially with the season when Harper was hurt for so much of the season.
Exactly.
The leadoff guy was hurt so much of the season. Yep. Strasburg was hurt for so much. Max Scherzer, everybody was hurt.
No, he did a great job managing this team for the
job,
season. Yeah.
A great job, and that's how they repay him. So, this is sports in this town nowadays, right? You know, you just gotta live with it, right? You know, so, well, you know, congratulations to whoever the new skipper is of this team, and
we'll be watching you, buddy.
We will be watching you, you know,
because 90 is the goal.
You know, we do the Nationals games here on Federal News Radio, and we know of which we speak, right? It's not like we're just two guys talking about baseball. We know. We listen to the pregame, the lineup, the postgame, the in-depth, the Phil Wood in-depth. We listen to your questions, too. And we know what baseball is about. So don't just come over here just bringing somebody and say, oh, this guy has been a bench coach for five. If he's such a great guy, how come he hasn't had a managerial job already? No. This is not fake news or not.
No, this is not fake news or not, sir.
Yeah, this is real.
Okay, so you
back
were a little upset about
that. Okay.
Got it.
Good thing we got a radio show.
Yeah, good thing you got a platform where you can just kind of, you know, let it all out. So here we go. Talking about this upcoming game, it's Cowboys week. Doesn't feel like it to me. Kevin, does it feel like to you? I think you said that it not necessarily.
Not really.
Yeah,
you know what? Maybe we should
like
try it from another perspective. Maybe we should pretend we're Cowboys fans.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I wonder how easy would it be for me to pretend as
a
Cowboys fan.
I know it'd be a stretch for you, man, but maybe we should just like pretend and act like it's like we got a lot to look forward to. We could like
let's do
maybe
that
catch
this
the
segment.
Eagles.
Let's do that this segment.
Okay,
you're listening to Dallas Cowboys Radio on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. After a great win against the San Francisco 49ers to improve. improved to 3-3. We are back on track with the matchup coming up this and the win by the 49ers 40-10. I mean, that's how you beat the 49ers.
Yeah.
And they've got you know, this kid Bethard playing quarterback. That's how you beat the 49ers 40-10.
Our next opponent up there in Washington, right? They couldn't handle the 49ers like that. And I think they're a team in turmoil. I think they're just what to build confidence as a Cowboy fan, to build confidence, we just have to get some opponent and just beat them unmercifully. And right. Washington seems to be ripe for that pick and I can't do this, man. I'm sorry. I can't.
Yeah. For some reason, it's easier for me.
It's easy. Yeah, right. Yeah. It seems easy because I was about to say how, you know, how they were crazy for letting Alf go and all that, right? And how he's brought leadership and maturity to the Cowboys.
He's
right?
Teaching Zeke how to be patient.
That's right.
Because let's not forget, Zeke struggled the first couple of weeks of the season last year. Zeke struggled the first couple of weeks this year. So maybe he starts off slow and then he picks up momentum. Who knows?
But Alf comes in and says, hey, watch this. Sit down, young boy. Watch this. You know. So, I'm looking for methodical,
keys to victory.
Yeah, for methodical for the Redskins. Oh, okay, right. We're back to being those guys fans again. Yeah, we always say true and true, you know, through and true and all that, right? The key is to abandon the run. Kurt's going to have to throw 60 times this game. He's going to have to throw 60 times.
Now you're talking Gruden's language.
That's right. Yeah. He's going to have to throw 60 times. And, you know, we're going to see some 5, 6, 7 receiver sets, something we've never seen before in the history of the game, right? They're going to have to light it up. They're going to have to throw deep. They're going to have to throw continuously. They're just going to have to make the Dallas secondary back up. Even if they don't catch the ball, just throw it straight as far up in the air. We're not playing in Dallas. You don't have to worry about hitting the big screen.
Right.
Just throw it far up in the air as you can and let it come down and see if you have a jump ball situation with Pryor and Dotson. Man, that's what they're going to have to do. It's going to have to take 60 pass attempts. 60.
All right? Oh, goodness. Yeah, here's the thing. There's a lot of injuries, and a lot just depends on what happens with the offensive line. I mean, you know, and this is an obvious statement, but sometimes I think what's the saying? Sometimes it's up to it's the first duty of the wisest of men to restate the obvious.
Yes.
That we'll know more later this week, you know, but a lot of it has to do with the offensive line, you know, and those injuries. You know, if Trent can't go, if Sheriff can't go, and if Morgan Moses can't go, Skins in trouble. I mean, you know, it's going to be hard to protect Kurt. It's going to be hard to run the ball. It's already hard to run the ball because the coach doesn't want to run the ball.
Yeah, it's real hard. When they call passing plays, it's real hard to run the ball.
So it's already hard to run the ball because Gruden doesn't call run plays. It's going to be even harder to run the ball if those three guys are out. It's going to, and you've got the kid, DeMarcus Lawrence, who had, you know, a few incredible games this year. David Irving, who one of the players who was suspended for the Cowboys, he came back and made an immediate impact. It's going to be hard to run the ball and to protect Kurt. And so, like you said, you're going to have to find creative ways. I think you try to run to keep the defense honest, but you're going to have to find some short, quick passes to Dotson, to Pryor, to try to make something happen. And I think you have a matchup issue with your tight ends. And so it could be another game where the tight ends are targeted or hit more when you kind of average out the numbers than the receivers are. I think you're going to have to utilize Vernon Davis. You have to utilize Jordan Reed, because if there is a mismatch on offense or something that the Redskins can exploit about the Cowboys defense, it's coverage against those tight ends. Now, they'll probably try to bring that safety Byron Jones down to help. But, I mean, again, Jordan Reed, not going to block anybody, but again, we're not going to run the ball, so that's okay. And Vernon Davis, those guys, I think, have the matchup advantage against the Cowboys linebackers and safety. So that's where I think you can do it. Those short, quick passes and make the receivers make plays, that was something that two other guys specialized in, like Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. They could both do that. But they're not on the team anymore.
They'd run like 1 yard when they needed a yard. They'd run a 1 yard pattern, right? They'd run a half yard.
I've never seen a half yard pass pattern.
We said we were going to leave that alone. So that's one of the things you have to do. I think clearly on defense, you got to stop the run.
Yes.
The Cowboys are going to run Zeke. They're going to try to beat you down. And so you got to stop the run. But again, it changes the whole complexion of how you defend the Cowboys if Josh Norman is back and healthy, if he can actually help. If he can shadow Dez, that's going to help you out a lot. But you still got Cole Beasley. You still got Terrence Williams. You still got Witten you got to watch out for. But it helps when you don't have to worry about 88 for the most part.
Do you think Witten gives Dak half of his paycheck now? Because Witten was washed up two years ago, right?
Well, it's so funny to watch him play because Dak makes some pretty good throws throwing the ball to Witten because Witten doesn't get a lot of separation.
Right.
But if the ball comes near him, you know, he'll catch it, and he's not going to get you a lot of yards after the catch. But he has a way. He's like the old wily veteran guy who doesn't have a ton of moves, doesn't have a ton of speed, but he somehow finds a way to get open. He blocks you out with his body, catches the ball, and he keeps the chains moving.
But before Dak got there, he was on the way out. I mean, he was just like, you know, I had him on my fantasy team. He had like one catch, one season, right? But now he's got like national TV commercials, right?
The man is
revitalized, right? He's got to pay Dak, right? You know, the Cowboys stumbled across a great quarterback, and it's good.
Got him in the fourth round, I think.
Fourth, and it's the second of two fourth round picks, I believe.
And from what I understand, they actually wanted to get Paxton Lynch, the kid who plays in Denver. Now, he played in Memphis. Denver picked him up, and they said, "Oh, well, you know what? Let's get Prescott."
Man, see, they can't even mess up right.
Exactly. Oh boy. So yeah, I think those are the keys. You got to be able to stop the run. It helps out a ton if Josh Norman is playing, simply because he can at least, and we've seen it before, give 88 some fits. And that will help at least. But again, Dallas beat them twice last year, and Norman was healthy. But who knows? You know what I mean? We don't know. But injuries, that's the name of the game. That's the thing to watch this week. The picture will be a lot clearer on Thursday or Friday when we know who's playing or who's not. But I'll tell you what, if Moses and Trent is not playing, that's going to be tough.
60 passes, man. 60
passes. There you go. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
61 if we have to.
Exactly. And on Federal News Ready, on the Federal Football Report, you also get baseball news. Federal Baseball Report on Federal News Radio. Hit us up on Twitter. We love your interaction, and we actually will have you on the program if you want to come on. It's at FF Rep. Also, you can hit Kevin up on Twitter, Stanfield Kevin.
That's right.
The Twitter handle. Mine is Claude J Radio. Thank you so much for listening to the Federal Football Report. It's Dallas week, man. Act like it. Is it weird that it's Dallas week and Halloween's coming up? Is that a good omen or a bad omen?
Everything's scary, man.
Oh, there you go. Scary. Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.